Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The Lord is sure to be good to all of us. When we were talking at the hospital, I mentioned to everyone there that every time, every morning, Sunday morning, Uncle Albert would come, put his two cold hands on my cheeks, and I would say, "Oh, cold, cold." And I said, "Then watch out for these hands, because they are registered." Not knowing that he had a belt in judo. So, but thank God, God has been good to all of us. He never fails us, in spite of who we are. Our scripture readings will be found in the book of Zechariah. And we're in chapter 3 of Zechariah. Hold your finger there. Then go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. But first we're going to do Zechariah. Well, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're thankful. You deserve all the glories. You deserve all the honor, all the praises, all of our love. All of our life, we give it to you. After all, you are our creator, our healer, our provider, our almighty God, a God who loves us, and a God who deserves our praises and honor. Bless this messenger today, Lord. Bless my brethren as they receive the word. Let it bless their hearts, Lord, that we may be hearers and doers of it. Amen. Some time ago, and that was years ago, we had gone to Israel. And so, being that I'm not a good traveler, car sick, seasick, air sick, everything, you know, get upset. So I had my doctor prescribe me the patch to put behind my ears. So on the plane ride to Israel, which was very long, I slept mostly all of the way. And then on the bus ride, going to different spots, you know, I was fine because I had the patch. Then the day that we were going to cross over from Egypt, from Israel into Egypt, we had to change buses. All of our luggage had to be, you know, go through inspection and whatever. And then we finally got to go. We're heading to a monastery close to the Mount Sinai. And the roads were, you know, winding. And we had had breakfast. And halfway there, I got, my stomach started to feel upset. And I told Brother Ed, "Dear, I want to vomit." And he said, "We had a bag with our extra coat and jacket in it." He gave the bag to me. Well, I vomited into it, not knowing that the bag had little pukas in it. I had vomit all over me. I vomited all of my breakfast. And I go, "Ooh, ooh." I just tried to, I was all messy. Run in front, get Auntie Lima, talk to the bus driver, talk to my brother Richard, went to speak to the bus driver. Then they announced, and I'm trying to hide, and everybody's, "What's happening?" And of course, they say, "Okay, we're going to stop at this resort." It was not planned, but because of me, we're going to stop at this resort called Nueva. So they stopped there, and there were 11 of us from our church, all us Hawaiians. So we told the man, "You first go," the ladies took care of me. They took me, they opened up a room for me. And I was so sick, I couldn't do much of anything. My sisters literally undressed me, washed my clothes as best they could, cleaned me up in the shower, put me to bed, and Pastor stayed with me. They laid out my clothes outside on the hedges to dry. And we had 2 hours stopped there until I felt better. They asked around, anyone had extra patches? Mine fell off unknowingly when I took a bath that morning. But dirty clothes can do that to us. Embarrassment, shame, trying to hide. You know, another time I vomited on my clothes. I was at a seminar, dental seminar, rode the elevator, got to the place where we had to go, and my stomach was just gurgling. Got into the room and they were showing a film. So the lady that greeted us went to look for space for 3 of us from our dental center. I looked at the place, where am I? I had to, you know, vomit. And I looked around, there were potted plants. So I vomited in that. I said, oh, thank you, Lord, it was dark. But I kind of dirtied my clothes, so I was very self-conscious. But like I said, dirty clothes does that to you. You know, they make us feel shame, make us feel self-conscious. Well, that's how I felt. And that's the kind of situation in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the dirty garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And this is what the high priest Joshua found himself in Zechariah's vision, standing before the angel of the Lord, dressed in filthy clothes, with Satan nearby to bring up all his past sins and mistakes. And we feel that way too sometimes. One mistake, one slip into sin feels like an embarrassing stain. It can make us cringe for the rest of the day, or it might for the rest of our lives. And Satan, he takes every opportunity to remind us of our stain. But the Lord here takes drastic measures. He takes off our filthy clothes. Then he puts on rich garments in verse 4. And or in the book of Revelations, it says, 19:8 says, he puts on fine clean linen, bright and clean. And those who wear these white clothes in chapter 7 of 14 of Revelation have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of Jesus Christ, in the blood of the Lamb. So the next time you sin, and the next time you hear Satan's voice accusing you of things that you have done wrong, do this exercise in spiritual thought. First, step out of your dirty clothes. Then wash them in the blood of Jesus. Then put them on, white and shining. Put them on and now stand before God. Stand before the angels. Stand before the great accuser. Clothed in rich, clean garments. And in Isaiah 1:18, Jesus says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Now we are in Colossians 3. In the previous verses of Colossians 3, tells us, and Paul tells us, we need to take off or put off all the evil deeds of this world. We need to put off, take off shameful desires, anger, malicious behavior, slander, impurity, lust, greed, dirty language, lying, sexual sins. We need to be spiritually minded. We need to be dead to sin. We need to mortify our flesh. In verse 10 of chapter 3, tells us, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Paul tells us, for you have stripped off your old evil nature and all its wicked deeds. In its place, you have clothed yourselves with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more about Jesus Christ, who created a new nature in you. Every morning, you go to your closet and decide, what are you going to wear today? What am I going to wear today? It's one of the many decisions that you make in the day. Will I wear a dress? Will I wear a skirt and blouse? Will I wear jeans? What color will we wear? Black, brown, blue? And yeah, blue, okay. Cotton, wool, or microfiber. And if you're a parent of small children, you choose clothes for them to wear. Thank God Destiny wears uniforms to school, so she has no choice. But you probably lay out their clothes, and then when they see it, they say, I don't want to wear that. Or they want to dress themselves. Do you know that God has a clothes closet that you can make, you know, your own decisions is what you will wear from his wardrobe. Let's go to verses 12, 13 of 3 of Colossians. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have quarreled against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So here this verse says, put on. What are we to put on? First of all, says mercy. Let's look at mercy. Mercy is a side of God's love that causes him to help the miserable, just as grace is a side of God's love that moves him to forgive the guilty. Those who are miserable may be so because of breaking God's law or because of circumstances beyond their control. We see this side of mercy especially in the life of Jesus Christ. He healed the blind man, he healed the lepers. These acts of healing grew out of his attitude of compassion and mercy. Finally, because God is merciful, he expects us to be merciful. Yeah. To be merciful is to be mildness and tenderness of heart, which directs a person to overlook injuries or treat as offender better than he deserves. Now, if you read yesterday's paper, in Kona, a 10-year-old girl was struck as she walked home from school. And this man who was driving was speeding. He hit her, she flew up into the air, she died. Her mama, in an interview with the reporter, says that she did not have the opportunity to go to this man who killed her daughter, 10-year-old, said she did not have the opportunity to go up to him and give him a hug. This is mercy. Be merciful for one who offended, and many people will say he does not deserve mercy, he does not need forgiveness, but this woman said she forgave him. That's mercy. But Paul tells us that eternal life is the fruit of mercy. So this is mercy. Then there is kindness. And that says loving kindness. God's loyal love and favor towards his people. Because God has been gracious towards believers, they should also treat others with kindness and grace. All people are created in God's image and should be treated accordingly, no matter how badly they have twisted or deformed that image. Kindness is not an indifference response to sin, but a deliberate act to bring a sinner back to God. To do good to others, having tenderness and goodness of nature. This is kindness. Next was humility. Humility is a freedom from arrogance that grows out of the recognition that all we have and are comes from God. In the Bible, Jesus is the supreme example of humility, and he is completely adequate and of infinite dignity and worth. You see, humble people focus more on God and others than on themselves. True humility does not produce pride, but gratitude. Since God is both our creator and our redeemer, our existence and righteousness depends on him. Gentleness. Gentleness is kindness, consideration, a spirit of fairness and compassion. The Apostle Paul declared that Christians should have a spirit of gentleness to all people. Gentleness is softness of manner, mildness of temper, sweetness of disposition, and meekness. Then you have patience. Patience is forbearance under suffering and endurance in the face of adversity. Two Greek words are translated as patience, macrothymia and hypomone. The former word generally expresses as a quality of God and is listed by Paul as one of the fruit of the Spirit. The second word, hypomone, generally expresses patience with regards to things. So it may be described as a quality that endures a person to be patient in tribulations. So the Christian has, for example, the patience of Jesus, who endured the cross, Christians are challenged to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Forgiveness is the act of excusing or pardoning others in spite of their slights, their shortcomings, and errors. Well, forgiveness refers to God's pardon of the sins of human beings. No religious book except the Bible teaches that God completely forgives sins. Forgiveness in the New Testament is directly linked to Jesus Christ, his sacrificial death on the cross, and his resurrection. So the key to forgiving others is remembering how much God has forgiven you. Is it difficult for you to forgive someone who has wronged you a little when God has forgiven you so much? Realizing God's infinite love and forgiveness can help us to forgive others. So Jesus placed no limits on the extent or the extent to which Christians are to forgive others. A forgiven spirit shows that one is a true follower of Jesus Christ. So the fact that Paul tells us here in Colossians that we can put on these qualities are evident that you have a choice. It is your choice. I have something to do with whether or not these qualities are evident in my life. It means it's pretty important that I get up in the morning in time to get dressed spiritually. Spiritually now, from God's wardrobe before I start my day. But individual pieces of clothing don't necessarily make an outfit. Often it takes one special piece that pulls the whole thing together. Let us look at verse 14 of 3. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So Paul tells us all the virtues that he encourages us to develop are perfectly bonded together by love. So as we clothe ourselves with these virtues, the last garment we are to put on is love, which holds all others in place. To practice any list of these virtues without practicing love will lead to distortion, brokenness, and stagnation. Love makes you truly pleasing to the eye. So Paul, he offers a plan to help us to live for God day by day. Hold it a minute.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So, as I was saying, Paul offers a plan to help us to live for God day by day. First, he says we need to imitate Jesus's compassionate, forgiving attitude. Also, let love guide your life. Third, let the peace of Jesus rule your heart. Fourth, always be thankful. Fifth, keep God's word in you at all times. And sixth, Live as Jesus' representative. Christians should live in peace. To live in peace, does that mean that suddenly all the differences of opinion are eliminated? But it does require that loving Christians work together. We work together despite our differences. Such love is not a feeling, but a decision to meet others' needs. To live in love leads to peace between individuals and among the members of the body of believers. You may vote differently, you may have different opinions, but we can still work together, we can still come together because of love.
Yes.
And Paul tells us not to let Jesus's to let Jesus's peace be the umpire or the referee in our hearts. Yes. Our heart is the center of conflict, because there are feelings and desires. This is where our feelings and desires clashes. Our fears and hopes, our distrust, trust, jealousy, and love. It all comes from our heart. So how can we deal with these constant conflicts and live as God wants us to? And Paul explains, he says, that we must decide between conflicting elements by using the rule of peace. Whatever you do, whatever you say, let it be a representative of Jesus Christ. Bringing honor to Jesus in everything that you do, in everything that you say. As a Christian, we need to represent Jesus Christ at all times, wherever you go, at the workplace, when you go shopping, wherever you go, among your family members, we need to represent Jesus Christ. What impression do people have of you? Do they see Jesus in you? You see, He decides. Jesus desires to be even closer to us than a brother or a friend. He is not only the God who is above us and the God who has come among us, but He is also the God who desires to dwell within us. And Paul says in Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Jesus lives in me. Uh-huh. And then in Colossians 1:27, he says again, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Jesus Christ in you and the hope of glory. So this is the mystery we were made to contain. We were made to contain the very life of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He means to live out the reality of who He is right here within the reality of who we are. He means to be our lives, the breath of our lungs,
yes.
The thoughts of our heads, the energy, creativity in our jobs, the love in our hearts. He means to take on the stress and unravel the inner complaints. He means to take all of this from us, our burdens. He means to take it away. All we need to do is give it to Him. We were never intended to be more than containers. We are intended to be temples to contain His glory.
Amen.
We are meant to be branches to contain the sap of His life. We are meant to be containers to contain the new wine of His Spirit. Consider that you are the glove and He is the hand. You are the cup, He is your coffee. We are the lamp, He is the light. This is what we were made for. This is the intended purpose of the human person and personality. Not to be gods, but to contain God.
Yes. Yeah.
This is the kind of unity that was present in the garden, but now is sadly missing in this world. It is a sheer simplicity of God's design that was shattered by humanity's sin. And it was the reason that Jesus came to care, to be tortured, to be killed, to be laid in a tomb, and to be raised again to life so that He could give us another chance at being what we were intended to be. In this letter, Paul clearly states and teaches that Jesus had paid for sin, that Jesus has reconciled us to God, and that Jesus gives us the pattern, the power to grow spiritually. And because Jesus is the exact likeness of God, when we learn what He is, we see what we need to become. So since Jesus is Lord over all creation, we should crown Him Lord over our lives. Since Jesus is the head of the body, His church, we should nurture our vital connection to Him. Colossians, along with Philippians, Ephesians, and Philemon, is called the prison letters because Paul wrote these letters while he was in prison in Rome. Colossae had a large Jewish population because a lot of the Jews ran to Colossae because they were persecuted. And Paul had not yet visited the church here in Colossae. But he writes this letter to them for the purpose of proving wrong all of the false prophets that have been coming into the church and teaching false teachings to the Christians and having them confused. They did not know who and what to believe. But Paul says it simply, we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen. Yes.
So we are to clothe ourselves with a brand new nature. It means that our conduct should match our faith. If you are a Christian, you should act like it. To be a Christian means more than just making good intentions or good resolutions. It means taking the right action. This is a straightforward step that is simple as putting on your clothes. Every Christian is in a continuing education program. The more we learn, the more we know about Jesus and His works, the more we are being changed to be like Him.
Yeah.
And I always tell in our Bible study class, the more we study about Jesus, the more we love Him.
Yeah.
There is no jurisdiction for drifting along Brothers and sisters, the time is coming. Soon Jesus will return.
Yeah.
It's now we need to keep in line with God's will. Nothing should keep us from telling others about Jesus Christ or accepting them into our fellowship. Christians should be building bridges, not walls. It is not enough to hear the word of God or even know it well. We must also put it into practice.
Yeah.
It is easy to listen to a sermon and forget what was preached the next day. It is easy to read the Bible and not think about what you've read to live the way it's said. It is easy to debate about a passage in the Bible, what it means, and not live out the meaning. Exposure to God's word is not enough, brothers and sisters. We need to be obedient.
Yeah.
In this letter, Paul clearly teaches that Jesus Christ did pay the price for you and I. He brought us close to God. He redeemed us with his blood. And because Jesus is the exact likeness of his Father God, when we learn about what he is like, we see what we need to become. Since Jesus is Lord over all, we should crown him Lord over our life. Since Jesus is the head of the body, we should, did I say that already? That since Jesus is supreme, our life must be Christ-centered. No person, group, or church can regard any loyalty as more critical than that of loyalty to Jesus Christ. We should live in constant contact and communication with God. When we do, we will be unified with Christ and with one another. Read Colossians. Read it. Read the book. And see how this church embattled in the first century with false doctrines. Read about it. Read it. And also for its timeless truths that Paul writes. Gain fresh appreciation for Jesus Christ as a fulfillment of God and the only source of living the Christian life. Know that he is your leader. He is the head. He is your power source. And make sure that of your connection with him. Paul compared new life in Jesus to the changing of old clothes to new ones. But don't we have old clothes, attitudes that feel more comfortable than new ones? What if we tried over and over to be more forgiving, to be more thankful, to be more peaceful without much change? If so, it's important that we not misunderstand what Paul is trying to tell us to do. The secret to clothing ourselves in the attitudes of Jesus, according to Paul, is being good hosts to Jesus who lives within us.
Yes.
And as we learn to consider and rely on his presence in us gratefully, we gradually discover that wonderful new attitudes of love, peace, and gratefulness that are growing in us in ways that we sense are not simply the results of our own efforts, but through the leading of the Holy Spirit, our power source. So brothers and sisters, talk about dirty clothes, huh? You know, Brother Ed, he gets so dirty, not lately, but You know, he gets so dirty, and I wonder how his clothes get so dirty and stinky. And so I would tell him, "Dear, how come your clothes smell so bad? Who urinated on you?" And he said, "Dear, it was a calf that was born. The mama abandoned her and wouldn't feed her. And a calf, newborns really need to have the first milk, the mother's milk, for the colostrum so they can grow strong. And so he takes this calf, he carries it, jump on the ATV, puts it across his lap, and go get his surrogated mother. He has a cow that's a surrogated mother that would take any calf. And so he goes on his ATV, takes the calf down to where the surrogated mother is, and on the way down, the calf makes shishi and do his thing on Brother Ed. But Brother Ed don't care, because he loves the calf more than himself. So he takes the calf, puts it onto the surrogated mother, makes sure the calf has the first drink of colostrum. The calf is fine, he is happy, he comes home. I said, straight to the bed, straight into the shower. Straight into the shower you go. I smell him before I see him. Dirty clothes. So brothers and sisters, Paul is saying that we need to strip all our dirty, filthy clothes. All our dirty, filthy attitudes. You know, sometimes you say, "Oh, this ski get bad attitude." We have attitude too. We have attitudes, so we need to strip it. Paul is telling us, when you've come to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to let him work on you. We sing the song, "He's still working on me." God is still working on us. We're not perfect, brothers and sisters, but we can set our goals towards that, to be what God wants us to be. We cannot do it on our own.
No.
We need the power source, and that is the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and help us along the way, so that we become what the Lord wants us to be. Yeah. That we become his children, that we become faithful to him, that we become to his house of worship, praising him and worshiping him with a heart full of gratitude for what God has done, because we love him. We can come into church and greet your brothers and sisters with a smile on your face because you love them and you care for them. You can look them in the eyes because you have no aught against them. You have been set free to the blood of Jesus Christ. And so this is what Paul is telling the Christians. He says, hang in there. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't give up. And so finally, I want to leave you with this thought. Who can explain God? It takes all of Jesus Christ to explain him. There are hundreds of functions and facets and names of Jesus Christ. He is the light, the Ancient of Days, the I Am, Wonderful Counselor, the Light of Israel, the Branch, the Rock, the Lord, the Chief Cornerstone. He is the Way, the Truth, the Life, and go on and on and on. He is the express image of God's person. But it takes every facet of him to reveal fully the glories of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. This is Jesus Christ in whom you have been placed. This is Jesus Christ who surrounds you, who is above you, who is beneath you, who is around you, who is before you, who is behind you, who is within you.
Hallelujah.
This is Jesus Christ, who is all and in all. You are complete. Your cup is running over in Him, in Jesus Christ. Thank God, brothers and sisters, for His love. We give Him honor, and this morning we'll give Him honor as we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we do it in remembrance of the blood that was shed on Calvary for you and I. So the Lord bless you and keep you, and make His face to shine upon you, and give you peace. Amen.